Rick, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. It seems pretty straightforward. If we want to conserve animals, if we want to keep animals alive, we should probably stop killing them, whatever the reason might be. But why does this perhaps contradict? Maybe why does this view in the fashion world contradict with some of the research into conservation?
Yeah, look, I can absolutely understand why you would think that the best way to protect giant pythons in tropical rainforests is to stop using their skins for luxury leather goods and so on. But there's been a lot of research on quite a few of these systems, and it turns out that the best way to conserve these populations of things like crocodiles and pythons and big goannas, the varanid lizards in Southeast Asia, is actually to maintain the commercial skin trade, because it provides an incentive for local people, a commercial incentive, for them to keep the forests around rather than selling them off for timber production or other kinds of things.
In your research, you spoke about how wild saltwater crocodiles in the Northern Territory are culled for financial assets, yet their numbers remain healthy. This seems, you know, rather intriguing to me that the crocodiles are being kept around as well.
Yeah, look, I think saltwater crocodiles in the Northern Territory are probably the best example worldwide of a giant, dangerous predator that was very close to extinction after being overhunted and has come back to incredible abundance. So, you know, every tourist that goes to Darwin and goes out to Kakadu sees hundreds of big salties these days. And the story is that after hunting was prohibited, crocs continued to decline because local people, not surprisingly, didn't really want their kids being eaten by saltwater crocs, and so they kept killing them. And a guy called Graham Webb up in the Territory had been involved with research, and they realized that most of the crocodile eggs were drowned in the monsoonal flooding in the wet season. They'd been removing buffaloes, meant you remove floating grass mats where they used to nest on, so now the crocs nested on the bank and the water covered the eggs and they were drowned. So Graham had the idea that you could go in there just after the eggs were laid and take them out of the nest. That's a bit tricky because mum does defend the nest, but if you do it carefully, you're okay. Bring them back, incubate the eggs in the incubator, and then you could release a bunch of those eggs back, the hatchlings, back into the wild, more than would have hatched anyway, and you could keep the rest and raise them in croc farms and use them for leather and tourism trinkets and so on. And it was ridiculously successful to the point that salties have bounced back. Now, if anything, there's too many of them. They no longer bother to release baby crocs back into the wild because there's far too many to worry about. And so this is a case where they made the animals worthwhile to the local people. When they went out to collect the eggs, they did it with the local landowners and the indigenous people, and the money from the commercial harvest went back to those local communities. And so they had a reason to want to protect the croc. And when somebody said, oh, let's go and shoot a croc, other people said, no, look, you know, those eggs are worth real money to us. And the whole situation changed. It's exactly the same in Sumatra with reticulated pythons, biggest snake in the world. I spent quite a lot of time up there in the slaughterhouses where the pythons are brought in and killed for leather. It's a sustainable trade. You know, it's hundreds of thousands of snakes every year. But we've now done two surveys, 20 years apart. The numbers of snakes being brought in are exactly the same. The sizes are the same. By any accounts, this is a completely sustainable harvest. If we turn around and say, you can't do that anymore, then the local people will be getting no benefit from having the forest and the animals in it, and they'll look for other ways to make some money because, you know, money's a pretty scarce commodity in those parts of the world.
You know, even if we wrap it around our heads here in Australia where, you know, there's money on the table at least for conservation, for conservation's sake, even if we, you know, you can argue how successfully we actually do that regardless. In some of these other countries, you got desperate people, you got people that need this kind of cash. You're going to have to do a little bit of a better argument than just saying, well, we should conserve these animals because they're animals, because they're part of Mother Nature.
Yeah, it's fine for us to sit here in a city in a Western country and sip our coffees and talk about the idea that we'd rather not see people killing, you know, these beautiful wild animals. But, you know, if you're a villager in one of these places, you know, the average annual income's probably a dollar or two a day. you know, you need money for medicine for your sick kid. These sources of income are really important, and it's clear that they have translated into a long-term sustainable harvest. If the people that sell the exotic leather start saying, for environmental reasons, you can't do that, we know that that's going to have a highly negative effect on the conservation of the species involved.
Have we seen any response to this research from the likes of animal rights groups, conservationists who are trying to find solutions to these problems, usually any way they can?
Oh, look, there's a lot of people trying to work very hard. There's a group called the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, a big international group, has all the experts, has a lot of science, and it is very strongly in favour of sustainable use of populations. A lot of the animal rights groups and so on are coming from a different direction. They focus on the suffering of the individual animal. So what they ask themselves is are animals suffering in the course of this activity? And, of course, the answer is yes. You know, if an animal is captured and killed, there's almost no doubt that there's going to be suffering involved. And so they think for that reason we shouldn't do it. It's a very different perspective than asking, do we want the species to be still around so our grandchildren can see it when they grow up?
Mm.
And unfortunately, you get different answers depending on which perspective you come from. Focusing on the suffering of the individual animal may lead you to a conclusion that will actually result in that species ending up going extinct. I think the way forward is to talk, the groups to talk. And at the moment, there are major initiatives going on where people from Western countries are trying to identify humane ways of treatment of animals used in the commercial wildlife trade so that we can try to ramp up the welfare aspects, and hopefully we can find compromises that will make everybody happy.
Well, I think that's probably an excellent place to leave it right there, Rick, finding that kind of middle ground. Really appreciate your time this morning.
My pleasure.